You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
Good morning. My name's Sheila, and with all the other voices saying welcome this morning, I echo welcome to Every Nation Church. Well, how are you? Like, really, how are you? 11 months now, guys. Wow. And we are on week two of our Let's Talk series. And I think, like, maybe no other year, it's a great year to be talking about our mental health, our emotional well-being, which all ties in with our physical and spiritual well-being. So I'm excited today to talk about this topic. We've given the title Thrive in Tension. One definition of tension is the state of being stretched or strained. And it's been a year, hasn't it, of feeling stretched and strained in our personal lives, in our family lives, as a nation and as a world. So a couple of stories as we start to talk today about what it looks like to thrive in this time of tension. Yesterday was our oldest son's birthday. And, you know, when you have kids in their 30s, and some of you are kids in your 30s or younger, you know that you don't usually get to spend your birthday with your parents. So this year, because they are actually living with us for a couple of months, we got to have birthday dinner with our son yesterday. Now, you know, as a mom, that really has a really sweet spot in my heart. But let me back up a few days, because here's what 2020's been like, and now 2021. So I was super happy that we were going to be able to spend birthday together. But I also had this, Joel and Natalie, our other son and his wife, they live like 1 hour away, and they couldn't come and be with us. And there my heart was torn in two directions, happy, and I should be, and yet sad at the same time. And something within us doesn't want to have two different conflicting emotions, do we? In fact, we don't want the bad ones at all. We want it to be a sunny day. Here's another story this week. Somebody that our family knows well had their first baby about a month ago, and, you know, glorious, happy. And this person lives far from extended family, and so nobody could be there. And there's the sad part, and nobody has met the baby in real life. And interestingly enough, here's another emotion that's come out in this, in this woman's life. And one is the happiness, and the other is she realized that when her husband went to the grocery store, she didn't get to go. And she realized she was feeling jealous. And you know what we do with ourselves. I should be happy. I should be grateful. But I'm feeling this feeling that just feels nasty and negative. And then we berate ourselves and we don't give ourselves space. And yet this has been a year where there has been a tension in our emotions, where there's been places where we can say with gratitude, as Crystal said, we play board games with our kids, and yet at the same time feel that sense of grief and lament and loss concurrently. So we're going to dive into that a little bit and hopefully come out by the end of the day with maybe a couple of tools to help us to thrive in this time. I want to start with Jesus, because that's always a good place to start. And I want to read a couple of Bible verses, but first I'm going to read from Isaiah 61 in a minute, and I'm also going to read from Luke chapter 4. But before the verses that we're going to look at Luke chapter 4, Jesus, here's what he's done up until this point. He has he was baptized by John, and then he went out into the wilderness for 40 days. He fasted, and he was tempted by the devil, and then it says that he came back into Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And what Jesus did as he came back into Galilee, he went into the synagogue, as was his tradition, or as he was used to doing. And he picked up the scroll of what we see as the book of Isaiah. And he purposefully opened it. And the passage that he read was part of what we're now going to read from Isaiah 61. So he's been baptized. He's been tempted. He's come back in the power of the Spirit. He goes into the synagogue. He picks up the scroll, and this is what he's going to read. So join with me as I read Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus stopped here, but we're going to read a little more of this, because we know that those hearing at this time were well-versed in the scripture, and they would have known the rest of this prophetic word about Jesus. So it goes on, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called the oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And let's read now from Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. It says Jesus rolled up the scroll at this point, and he said, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. You know, your translation, maybe the Bible that you're reading out of at home, maybe where I use the English Standard Version, if you flipped or went on your computer to maybe the New American or the King James, you're going to see a lot of words. A lot of words identifying emotion. Whether you're looking at Isaiah 61 or Luke chapter 4, there's words like, I just wrote a bunch of them down here, despair and grief and being disheartened and mourning and joy and feeling faint and comfort and oppression and sorrow and tears and brokenheartedness and gladness and blindness. And Jesus wasn't just talking about the physically blind, because he often talked about those who couldn't see with spiritual eyes. And it talks about heaviness of spirit and some kind of bondage, and yet beauty and praise. You know, Jesus, for some reason, some people say this was his first sermon. This was the first place that Luke talks about where he actually went and spoke publicly. And he chose to read, there's many prophetic words about Jesus in Isaiah, but he chose to read a portion that actually looks at the inner state of men and women, of where our heart is at, of where our woundedness and our soul and our spirit and our emotions is. And he said, I've got an exchange here. This is where you might be wounded or hurt or broken, and this is where I'm going to bring you to, ashes and comfort, and I'm going to wrap you with a garment of praise. Now, I'd like it to end there. I'd love to be able to say that, and because Jesus has come into your life and mine, the things that we think are dark and dirty emotions that we don't like to feel, that they're uncomfortable, I'd like to say, Jesus saved you and now it's over. And yet, what we know about what Jesus did in his time on earth, we sometimes like to call it the already, but the not yet. He paid the price for something. He paved the way for it. And yet the fulfillment, the fullness of that will not be until the end of time. In fact, I hope you're not those people who read the end of the book first, but you can do that in the Bible, because here's how Revelation, the end of the book, ends. This is one day when earth as we know it is wrapped up. It says in Revelation, he, Jesus, God, will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. So already Jesus has come for our souls and our emotional, mental realm, and yet it's one of those not yet things. We'll live in the fullness of that one day. So how do we thrive in that tension between the already paid for, but the not yet of how we're living in our current life? Thrive in tension. Tension, I said as we began, that tension is the state of being stretched or strained. Another word I've heard a lot on podcasts and things in this pandemic season is the word paradox. And I like the word paradox because it says it's a statement or proposition that seems self-contradictory or absurd, but in reality expresses a possible truth. And don't you feel a paradox in what's inside of you sometimes, where you can feel grief and gratitude and sad and happy and kind of scared and yet kind of hopeful? It seems like we're somewhere in between, and yet both things are true. How can suffering and thriving coexist, we have asked ourselves this year. So have you noticed any conflicting emotions over the past 11 months? I bet you have. I've named a couple. Sometimes there's grief and gratitude. I look at what I've lost, and yet I'm grateful for everything we have. Sometimes I'm sad, and yet there's some hope on the horizon. I bet there's some that you could identify and be thinking about right now. You know, the way to thrive in tension. Okay, let's go for the way not to thrive in tension. Last week, Rich unpacked a whole lot of things about emotions, but the way not to thrive in tension is to ignore what you're feeling. Don't ignore what you're feeling. Sometimes I think, my mother used to say, if you ignore bad things, they go away. She was wrong. I loved her, but it was not a good motto to grow up with. Don't ignore those things. They're pointing to something. Don't be embarrassed or ashamed. You know, I just talked about the new mom and that was feeling kind of jealous because her husband got to do something she wouldn't do. Now, the reason I know that was because she wasn't too embarrassed to tell someone that this was the struggle that was going on within her. And to have the, well, yeah, of course you feel that way. And no, it's not. We're still really happy about the baby. So to not be embarrassed or ashamed, to open up and talk to somebody about those things that you're feeling that may feel like, oh my goodness, how can I be sad when all these good things are happening? And how can I be happy when all these bad things are happening? We say, I shouldn't feel that way. We say, but it's really okay. This bad stuff's happening, and it's really okay. And we throw a button there and we kind of try to wash out one with another. Here's another thing we do. And that is we look for the silver lining. If English is your first language, you know that metaphor. Silver lining just is an idiom or metaphor that means a negative occurrence that has a positive aspect to it, or there's hope that something good is going to come out of every bad situation. And you know, there's a lot of bad going on right now, but to thrive in tension, we need to be able to work through and admit and live in the place where our sadness and our lament comes, our grieving. And yet not just be looking for, oh, but all this good stuff is happening. We don't want to feel both things at the same time. That's tense. So, and just one more thought on what you might or might not be feeling right now. I'm wondering if any of you, kind of like me, have been once in a while feeling numb, where you feel like you're not feeling anything. I used to be sad, but it's gone on so long that I'm not sad anymore. And I used to be grateful, but it's hard to be grateful month after month after month with not end anywhere, you know, too soon in sight. You know, maybe there's other signs that all is not well. How are you sleeping? And are you sleeping too much or not enough? Have you gained or lost weight that you probably, you know, shouldn't have gained or lost? Me, one thing, I got a new Fitbit for Christmas, and I can see my heart rate on it, and I can kind of, I've always wondered, I thought, sometimes when I feel anxious or stressed, I feel like my heart rate is elevating. Now I can whip up my wrist and go, yep, whatever's going on the inside of me right now, I'm a little, in fact, I'm into the fat burning zone, which is probably not good if it's just because of stress. What about stomach or digestive troubles or fatigue or chest pain or jaw pain? Are you a teeth clencher, grinding in the night? There's other things where maybe physically your body is telling you something, that all is not well, that this tension is wearing on you, that maybe you need to explore and bring to the surface some of those things that you've been feeling. I've got a couple of great quotes as I've been reading in the last little bit. Let's start with this one from Psychology Today. So the next step, we didn't read about the first step, so just dive in here with me. The next step is to identify your emotions more specifically. You don't need to wallow in them. It just helps to name them. Ah, now I'm feeling sad. Now I'm feeling worried. Now I'm feeling fearful. Now I'm feeling calm. Try talking to your emotions. Treat them like old friends who have come to visit you. Ask them what they've come to tell you. You could say, "Hello, fear. What do you want me to know? What do you want me to do or not to do?" Or, "Hi, sadness. It's a very sad time right now, isn't it? How can I help you grieve?" You know, our emotions tell us something. Sometimes when there's fear, there really is something to be afraid of. And actually, God uses that fear to protect us. Sometimes when there's shame in our heart and in our soul, it's because there's voices saying, "I'm not enough," and "I'm flawed," and "I'm not worthy," and our very identity in Christ is being threatened. And there's others. I was talking with a friend about a week and a half ago, and she's an American who's lived in Canada a long time, and we were talking about our American friends, just reflecting on how things were making us feel, because a lot of our American friends are living like life is normal. And obviously, us as Canadians, we're just not living like that right now. Just differences. No judgment, just differences. But my friend and I were talking about how that made us feel. And we both could say it makes us kind of jealous because they're eating in restaurants and they're going to church. Okay, now the rational part of my mind goes, "But I don't want COVID and I'd rather wear a mask and be safe and stay home." But still, there's a part of me that goes, "Oh, but if I could just be with all of you on Sunday at church." And so there's that tearing inside of me. And what does the jealousy point to? It points to something that we really have lost. And my friend and I were able to grieve together and to say, it's not really what we want. We're really glad we're in a place where we're not being, you know, we're a little bit safer, and yet we could acknowledge something and identify it and talk with one another about it and then move forward a little tiny bit. Here's another quote from a book that's really worth owning and reading called Boundaries for the Soul. No, Boundaries for Your Soul. The idea of befriending internal enemies. Do you ever feel like you're emotions are your enemies? The idea of befriending internal enemies may counter everything you've been taught about how to handle problematic emotions. But criticizing and rejecting parts of yourself doesn't make it better. As you befriend the parts of your soul that you've dismissed as troublesome or downright bad and transform them into your allies, you become more whole. Now, you might say, "Oh, Sheila, that just sounds like pop psychology." Let's look at David. Because what did the psalmist David do somewhat regularly? He kind of talked to himself. He said, "What is going on the inside of me?" Here's a couple of famous ones from Psalm 42 and 43. Repeats itself three times within the context of these psalms. David says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation." New American Standard says it like this: "Why are you in despair, my soul? And why are you restless within me?" And of course, one of my favorites, The Message, says, Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? And why are you crying the blues? So when I talk about talking to your soul and talking to myself, looking on the inside of me, it's looking to identify the state of my mind, my soul, and my emotions for a place of identification and then for the purpose of growth. One of the quotes we read said, it's not for the purpose of wallowing, you know, staying, you know, a pig wallows in their, in the mud. They roll around and they stay there. It's not for that purpose, but it's for the purpose of being able to take our soul to the place of hope in God, for I will yet praise him. So remember Isaiah 61, all those descriptions of emotions we saw. If I just read, somebody wrote, they'd counted in the book of Psalms that David mentioned different emotions when they added them up. There were like 90 emotions described between David and the other psalmists in the 150 Psalms. So you can find them all. You can find the ones we saw in Isaiah 61 and more as we're in the Psalms. Why, soul? Why are you downcast? Why are you in despair? Let's take this journey to explore what's on the inside of us. Well, so let's talk. I want to come back full circle to where we started. Let's talk, because that's what our month is focused on. Let's talk. Maybe it's time to talk to yourself, and it's definitely time to talk to one another. There are two sides of let's talk. And when we open this series every year, we start with this part of the let's talk conversation. We want to have open and honest storytelling and conversations about mental and emotional health. We want to bring into the light things that have typically been in darkness, things that have been, there's been shame and things attached to. We want to talk about mental health. But now, as we look at the words, let's talk, for my last couple of minutes today, I want to go, let's talk. Can we honestly and openly talk with one another about what we're feeling? Why do we suffer alone? Isolation, shame, embarrassment. Last week, Rich talked about emotions, and he talked about some of our view of emotions might be cultural. They might be from our family of origin. They might be a judgment related to our gender. And yet sometimes we suffer in isolation. And I think it's time to talk. How are you feeling? What's going on in you and in your life? So back to my story about my son Daniel and his birthday yesterday. I started Tuesday morning. I woke up super sad. And I thought, why am I sad? Didn't know. Felt something, didn't attach it to anything. I asked myself, Sheila, why are you sad? And I realized I wasn't just sad, I was disappointed. And I realized I was disappointed because even though we got to spend Daniel's birthday with him, there was still lots of missing pieces. And it wasn't just disappointment over one day, because I think if I think back over the last 11 months, how many things that we were disappointed that we didn't get to do for all of us people, that we didn't get to see and be with, and vacations we didn't get to take, and a concert you didn't get to go to, and a sporting event that was canceled, and lessons and exercise classes and all those things. It was a disappointment built on a whole bunch of disappointments. So I identified it. I talked to the Lord and to me about it. And then Bert came in the room, so I talked to Bert about it. I'm sad, but I'm not just sad. I'm disappointed. I'm sounding cheery now because I feel like I had identified something. And I told him, here's how and why, and I'm good. I'm okay. And then it was staff meeting, so I'm the only woman on the staff meeting, so sometimes they get to hear about what I'm feeling. So I told Richard and Aaron, I was sad this morning, and I realized I'm disappointed, and here's what I'm disappointed about. And I had a minute to talk and to work through first identifying within myself and then processing that emotion to a place where, I was really happy and disappointed and there was a tension and it was okay. Great quote. It is one of the great paradoxes of the human condition that we ask some variation of the question, how are you feeling? over and over, which would lead one to assume that we attach some importance to it. Yet we never expect or desire or provide an honest answer. We would assume that we attach importance to that question. Hey, how are you? How are you feeling? And yet, how often do we just not expect or even want, or when we're asked, give an honest answer? Now, there are places where the honest answer might not be appropriate. If you ever get to go into Starbucks and the barista says, hey, how are you today? It might not be appropriate to tell him or her that, you know, I'm pretty depressed this morning. I woke up and you know, it might not be an appropriate place. Sometimes it's just courtesy to say, hey, how are you? How y'all doing? Are there places in our lives where we are asked and we ask, how are you? No, really, how are you? And dig in with one another to the journey of our heart and soul and emotions. Paul said this, the Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians to the church of Galatia, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Last week we learned the law of Christ is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. You want to fulfill that? Part of it is bearing one another's burdens. I will not know what your burden is if I don't ask or you don't tell. And so maybe as in 2021, it's a really good time in your family, with your friends, in your small groups to say, hey, how are you? No, really. Hey, how are you? And to ask good questions to one another and to be ready and willing and able to listen and to process and to bring one another to that place where we are clothed in the garment of praise that Jesus has for us. Almost a month ago, the President of the United States there was the inauguration, and we have some Americans in our home, so we watched it. And in the end, the benediction, the prayer over the president, a couple of lines caught me. I pulled out my phone, I wrote them down, and I thought, This is what I want to do in 2021, and this is where I want our church to go. So from the benediction, Reverend Sylvester Beeman, Bethel AME Church in Willington, Delaware, he said this, we need you. He's talking to God. We need you, for in you we discover our common humanity. In our common humanity, we will seek out the wounded and bind their wounds. In our common humanity, friends, as we work through the things that we're feeling, the tension in our emotions. Sometimes they feel like they're contradictory. But as we walk through them, let's not do it alone. And as we know there's wounded in our midst, maybe you know of someone who's struggling today, who's part of our Every Nation family. Can we seek out those who are hurting and wounded? Can we walk with them to see those wounds like the hands of Jesus be bound? I guess my closing thoughts today are just a couple of scriptures. One is Psalm 98. And it's kind of our prayer and our confidence in God. Because I don't know about you, but I've had a few moments this year where I felt like I can't do this anymore. My foot is slipping. And here's what the psalmist wrote. When I thought my foot slips, your steadfast love, O Lord, held me up. When the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul. And finally, as we close, Psalm 34. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. So as we close this thriving intention, as we close this moment together, my encouragement, talk to yourself, talk to God, and talk to one another, and let's grow and thrive in this time. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do ask That even as Jesus, your first words were, "Hey, I came to bring comfort to the ones who are mourning and to bind up broken hearts." Father, we need you like never before in our hearts and in our lives. So we ask you would be that to us and through us to one another. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.